views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. Just want to say thank you all for listening today. Today is October the 20th, 2017. If you'd like to get in on the conversation anytime during the show, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Then hit star, and we will see you in queue, and definitely we'll bring you up. So looking forward to today's show with you all. So definitely jump on with us. Looking forward to that. And before we get into today's show, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by this network by going to the homepage for the network, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Go to the homepage that's there, and you will see you will see where you can give some of your financial energy by giving a donation to the network, because this network has no corporate sponsors. The only sponsors that it has is you. And we would like you to continue to facilitate that process of making sure that Black Talk Radio Network is on air by giving some of your financial energy. So you can do that at www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and on the homepage, hit the donation prompt. You can also support the network by being a member of the social media outlet known as BTR Community. And BTR Community was a social media outlet that was put together for you to be able to engage in all of your social media activities without being as adversely affected. So you can very easily do that there. And it is, you could also find it on the homepage for Black Talk Radio Network, or you can find it on by going to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. $24 a year gives you a membership, and that is where you can, it's the only place that I post. Very, very important. So you will not be data mined, and you will not have your identity sold to any bidder. And you won't be anywhere near as adversely affected as you are, because there's a membership. And so $24 a year, and that will also support the network. Okay. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership. You could go to www.prosperitymint.com. Check out what's in inventory there. Then email info@prosperitymint.com. Let them know that you are interested in purchasing. Please, even if you purchased before, don't skip that. Make sure you do that, because there's a benefit to you that by you doing that. Your information will not be sold to anyone. It will just be used for the purpose of explaining the process and giving you some very, very important information that will be to your benefit. And you do not want to miss that, regardless of how much you're buying. You need to know. Also, if you would like to, before we finish that, also support my man Michael Emmanuel on the homepage of BTR, Black Talk Radio Network. I got to check on it. Make sure it's still there. I think it is. Also, the Houston Fund that Black Rose has, the Houston Relief. Please support that as well. And then, everyone, if you'd like to trade the cryptocurrencies, you could do that by going to ourcryptocurrency.com, ourcryptocurrency.com, and check out what's there. Also, the crowdfunding campaign for the cryptocurrencies have kicked off. I will post as soon as I can. I will post that in a... Let me see if I can find it. Post that in a minute. And definitely have that. Man, Roz and Jerry posted some really, really, really good stuff today. How to survive the first 24 hours after that. I like that one. So very, 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 very important. Some great, great stuff. Check out some of the stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's there. There's a lot of good stuff. No way in the world we'll be able to go through all of that, but we will. What day was that? Oh, yesterday. So great, great stuff that was posted there. I'm going to tell you, never skip on the some of the information that is posted there. You know, definitely you want to definitely get in on it. It's some good stuff. So if you would check out that, check out all of the postings that are there, and we're going to get into, let me see if I can find something really quickly. Hopefully it will pop up. Well, might not. I need to go back further. So I will post it inside of BTR Community, Tando Radio Show's page. And I think it'd probably be right here. I get that. Very, very important. So let me see. 1 second. So that is actually up and running, and definitely you want to engage in that. I'm looking forward to it. So can't go too far. So let me get into, well, let me, I'm already here. So let me see if I can find it really quickly, and then we'll get into the show. No, it's not there, and I'm going to have to get into the show. Just far too much. Let me try one more time. Bow. Okay. I found it. I think I, yep, I found it. Let me just pull this baby up and post it really quickly. We got a lot of stuff that's posted here, and I'm trying to shift through all of that to get to... the posting that's here, so I don't want to have any dead air. So, can I go on it? So let me try it one more time. Very, very important. All right, here we go. It's going to be in here. I found it. I hope I found it. So, but let me just explain this to you. The overall opportunity with the crowdfunding has started, and if you would like to be a part of it, then definitely contact me at 951-790-8330. No. Oh, daggone it. I should have known. It's not here. I'm looking in the wrong spot. Hang on, David. So, I'm sorry. I know where it is. I didn't post it inside of the overall thread for yesterday. I could have been found this going through all this in the thread. I could have had it already. So, forgive me, y'all. I'd rather be making a mistake. There it is. Right there. So, I'm going to repost it, and you'll be able to check it out and be a part of it. So I'm not going to post it. I'm not quite sure. So, all right. So let me get into today's show. All right. So with that being said, let's get into what's in the news for here on Financial Friday. It's a lot of stuff. Man, there's a whole bunch of stuff. The thread, you definitely, definitely, definitely need to. It's just far too much that's there to see it all, but definitely I would suggest that you go down and find the stuff that you want to engage in. So I'm gonna grab on a couple of them, and I'm gonna pick out just a few because I went through a bunch of, and it's a lot of great stuff here. So I'm gonna pick out a couple of from my man Jerry and from Roz and myself. So all right, here we go. First one from What's in the News. I posted this one from Twitter. This has come from Rick Reeder, as the CEO of BlackRock. Indeed, major central banks flooded global financial systems with near $10 trillion in liquidity since 2008. Now we're beginning to unwind. One more time. Listen to what the BlackRock CEO said. BlackRock is one of the probably one of the largest investment firms in the world. Indeed, major central banks flooded global financial system with a near $10 trillion in liquidity since 2008. But now we're beginning to unwind. What does unwind mean? Collapse, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it means. And today's show is Financial Friday, what the world is moving towards. And this was a real precursor to what's going to be happening. Next, my man Jerry posted from Lying Like a Fox News, Google's artificial intelligence computer no longer constrained by the limits of human knowledge. Check out that article. Check out that. That's a good one. Next one, Jerry posted from RT International. U.S. will have to accept North Korea's nuclear status. That is no joke. So true. No choice in the matter. You can't beat them. If you couldn't beat them in the 50s, what makes you think you could beat them when they got nukes now? So going to have to. So very, very, very important. Next article from Sprouts Money posted this one. China and Russia full steams ahead towards a cashless society. Another very, very important article. Check out that one as well. Let me grab a couple of the ones that Roz had posted some real good ones. It was some ones I wanted to really point out. From the Telegraph, Roz posted, South Korea lays out strategy to destroy the North's military in event of war. Check out that one. Next article, Roz posted this from Seeker. 75% of the global honey supply samples are contaminated by pesticides. Wow. Check out that article. Next article, Roz posted was one other one. It's another one. U.S. is pushing. Roz posted this from RT International. U.S. pushed North Korea to create the H-bomb, which is, in my opinion, is very, very true. Check out that article. Next article, Rise posted this from Cerebrally Naive Cerebrally Naive Network. 3-month-old and 5-year-old girls rescued in sex trafficking crackdown. This is ridiculous. God, so immoral. It's crazy. And last one I wanted to show, Rise posted a bunch of stuff. What a gold-backed yuan and cryptocurrency may mean for the dollar. You got this from Miso Institute. What a gold-backed yuan and cryptocurrency may mean for the U.S. dollar. Check out that article. There was some other good ones, some good prepping stuff Roz posted there that you need to check out. And so with that being said, I want to really, let me see, there's a couple other ones. Let me, there's a couple of other good ones. There's a bunch that are here, but there was another one that I definitely wanted to highlight. So can't find it right now. So that's what's in the news. I definitely want to get into today's show. And today's show is a really precursor to where the world is moving towards. And on this Financial Friday, what is the world moving towards? And I'm talking about financially. There's a lot of movement that's happening in the world that's very significant. And I'm going to tell you this. China is making it. One of the things that China is doing is that China is making its overall banking opportunities to where third world and fourth.
Joining conference now. This conference is being recorded by the organizer.
Get new actors. Everything that, in my opinion, the world is a stage. Everything that the media puts out in front of you is the actors that they want you to know. Why do they want you to know them? Because they want you to know them for one reason and one reason only, so because they are acting. Every actor lies. That is their profession, to lie. And so they are reading the script that the overall system wants them to perpetuate the overall agenda that best serves and protects the overall system. So right now that is moving towards an area or a confine in which they want to interchange the old way of doing things with a new way of doing things, and it's the same old thing. They want to change the celebrity figurehead so that people will think that there is a better, there is something better that's coming for them. And initially, that's how it works. You know, it was funny, in major corporations, or if you're in the military, this is how it generally happens. Let's say you, for those of you that have been in the military or those that you have been in corporate America, let's say you get a new CEO, or in the military you would get a new commanding officer or something like that. Well, in the beginning, what does that commanding officer do, or that new CEO? They want to make a good impression on everybody. So what do? They're very polite. They're not discipline heavy. You don't really know they're on their best behavior. But give them just a little while, and then the true nature of who they are comes out. And that is how that's how this system works, and that's how it wants to continue to work. And it's that's what it's doing right now. And so there's a new system that they're going to, or a system that they want to perpetuate. And that system is moving away from the U.S. and bringing in something different. And for a while, it's going to be, yay, getting rid of the great, you know, Satan of the U.S. Yes, the U.S. has been involved in it all. But you're not getting rid of the rituals. You're just changing the overall priest or the overall administrators of that ritual. That's it. That is absolutely it. So China is actually engaged with other countries and making it much more in a multipolar economic world where other countries can engage in it. But it's still the economy. It's still a measure of control of resources. Control is not giving up. Ownership is always surrendered. Control is never relinquished. The only way that control can be relinquished is for those that are adversely affected by the current control to establish a stronger hand of control. And until then, we'll keep continuing to do the exact same things that we've been doing, and there will be no real relative change. And the system will tell you how it used to be. How do you know? We weren't really there. We weren't really there. Yes, we can know from this and we could believe from this and from that, but you don't really know. One of the things that I loved about my grandmother, who lived to a very, very old age of 103 in today's world, I used to love to sit under her because she wasn't telling me what she believed. She would tell me, I would always sit down under her and say, Grandma, tell me what you know. And she knew the difference because she made me recognize the difference. And one of the things that she told me in that is that if you're going to be speaking about what you believe and speaking about what you think, make sure those that are listening to you are aware of that. If you're talking about what you know, that's completely different. Man, I miss sitting under Mama. But Mama had planted such good seeds, I realized that I've never not stopped sitting under Mama. Mama's still always around me because sometimes I didn't realize what she was saying for 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later. And it's so powerful. So And I will say to you, there will be some things that in a lot of times we talk about here on Tando Radio Show, some things that we believe or what we think. Sometimes we talk about what we know. And sometimes what you may honestly think you know something, but it may not be the truth. Big difference. Big difference. Big, big difference. So, in my opinion, what I think we're seeing is the same thing of what we saw before, and it's going to be cyclical. The system does not want to lose control, so how do you not lose control? You have propaganda of deception to make people think that it's important to own things. It's important to have this status or that status and to have this and that, and that's where you have what you're rich. When your overall energy is still being stolen.
Hey, psychic. Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Hey, man. That was just on my mind what you just said. Because it's this dude, man. You know, I've been cool with him. I ain't going to say he a friend. I ain't never met him. So, you know, how many people can we really say are friends that we ain't never met? But I've been knowing him right. Since Blog Talk Radio days and even worked with him briefly. And he claims to be a millionaire, and I'm not doubting him that he may have that kind of money. But then, right. You know, I would see him making posts, and this is a guy around my age, 50, maybe a little younger than me, and I'm like seeing him post all these materialistic posts, you know, about where he having dinner at and what kind of cars he got and stacks of cash and... I'm like, dog, man, I didn't know you were so materialistic. And I was just thinking, I was like, wow. So many people's self-worth is tied up in the Federal Reserve notes. And when those Federal Ooh. Reserve notes get devalued, then will that reflect on their self-worth? You understand what I'm saying?
Woo, Scotty, I never even thought of it that way. Whoa.
So, I mean, I was like, I didn't say nothing to him. I just unfollowed him today because he was like, the stock market is at all-time highs. If you ain't making money, you the only one. And I'm like, man, I'm so tired of these hollow, materialistic posts. Very shallow, that your worth is based on how many zeros in your bank account. So if you lose all of that, what's your worth then?
I tell you, Scotty, history tells you that the thing about is the dollar denominated or Federal Reserve denominated bank account, it's a debt instrument. Most people, you know, we all know that the importance to get out of debt. Well, you can never get out of debt unless you have very little cash as an exposure to your overall financial well-being. If you have millions and millions of dollars of cash, you are not a millionaire. You have millions and millions of pieces of paper, a receipt of debt that is depreciating and is losing confidence. So it's a double, triple whammy. And pretty soon, as in you've seen in Zimbabwe, it's going to take daggone wheelbarrows full of cash to buy a pack of gum. Or you're going to have to want to go buy a pair of shoes, and you're going to have to weigh it on a scale, on a big scale. And then when you go buy a house or something like that, you're going to need a truck scale. You're going to have to hire Brother Davis to load up all of the cash in his truck and then go put it on the scale, a truck scale.
Dave, I also think it matters how you make money. You know, I think really, really does matter. Now, as long as I've been paying attention to modern-day slavery and human trafficking in this country, if I wanted to make a bunch of money right before the 2016 election, I would invest it in private prisons whose stock shot up. I mean, when Obama was in office in the last few months, when he said the federal government was not going to use private prisons anymore, their stock almost bottomed out. And then when it looked like Donald Trump had a good chance of winning, that would have been time to buy in private. Now, being that I follow that industry, you know, I could have made a bunch of money investing in slavery, but I didn't.
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to tell you how sincere Scotty is to that. When we first started Tando Radio Show, Scotty's first question to CeCe is that, what is he going to be talking about? Is he going talking about me? What is he going to be talking about? Is he going to be talking about exploiting the minds that exploit people? If so, I'm not interested. Scotty is absolutely right. It's how. How and why. So, so true. And let me tell you, they put that information out so that people will sell their position. When they said Obama was going to start to, this is what they do. It's a pump and dump. They put out information, news, so people will dump it, knowing who they've already selected for the winner of the presidential selection process, knowing where everything was going to be. And this is what happens is this. This is what the controllers give as a token reward to their minions. Yeah, you want paper? I'll give you more paper. You don't cost me nothing. I'll give you more paper. And they're like, yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. Then it's such a charade. It's such a charade. And it's so true. How do you make it? You know, that determines who you are as a person. I remember as a child, I had the sincerest intent to do something in my adulthood. Then once I started doing it in my adulthood, I said, this does not meet my moral standard. It's as bull. I can't do this anymore. So what did I do? Knowing where things was going and what you see now in the news, I knew that this was all going to be happening. I said, I can't be a part of this. And I remember many a times I was going to walk away and resign, and for whatever reason, you know, family said, no, not yet, and they gave valid reasons as to why not. And actually, I learned a lot, and I was glad I didn't, because if there was an event that happened, if I hadn't been there, it would have been far worse. Or it would have been completely catastrophic, and I didn't want that to happen. So then I knew it was time for me to go do my adult dreams. So true, Scotty. And so, but now listen, I want to jump into, and at any time during the show, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. I want to introduce you something to AIIB, basically the BRIC nations and the new development bank that's coming around, and why this is so important, because this is the overall move toward the future. And what Scotty talked about, why is your self-wealth, your self-worth all anchored in the U.S. dollar? So when it loses all of its purchasing power and all of its confidence, you're going to lose your confidence in yourself and everything else. And I'm going to tell you absolutely without unequivocally, yes, this is where people start to jump out buildings, and this is where people, because they lost all of their cash, they decide that they're going to end their overall life. There's no longer worth living anymore. This is what they do, and this is what the system teaches you. So I want you to listen very closely to this. And it's about 27 minutes. We'll do this and then come back out of the break, talk about it. And then there's one more thing if we have time. Definitely want you to hear this. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Got everything queued up. Listen up. Very, very important, so that you will be positioned correctly in a moral way, that you will be able to establish your legacy going forward. Here we go. Listen up.
Welcome to the Real News Network. I'm Paul Jay in Baltimore. Will a new international bank challenge American global financial hegemony? Well, at recent meetings in Brazil, the five BRICS countries, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have created a new international bank called the NDB, or New Development Bank, and it's been given $50 billion in initial capital. The BRICS Bank works on an equal share voting basis, with each of the five signatories contributing $10 billion. The capital base is used to finance infrastructure and, quote, sustainable development projects in BRICS countries initially, but other low- and middle-income countries will be able to buy in and apply for funding. BRICS countries have also created a $100 billion contingency reserve arrangement, CRA, meant to provide additional liquidity protection to member countries during balance of payments problems and other financial shocks. The CRA, unlike the pool of contributed capital to the BRICS Bank, which is equally shared, is being funded 41% by China, 18% by Brazil, India, and Russia, and 5% from South Africa. The new bank is being described as a challenge to the IMF and the World Bank. That is, a challenge to American global financial power. But is it, as Vijay Prashad wrote, neoliberalism with Southern characteristics? Now joining us to discuss all of this, first of all, in Toronto, is Dr. Leo Panitch. He's a Canada Reserve Chair in Comparative Political Economy and a Distinguished Research Professor of Political Science at York University. He's the author of The Making of Global Capitalism, The Political Economy of American Empire. And also joining us is Michael Hudson. Michael, are you in New York?
Yes, I am.
You're in New York. Michael, joining us from New York, is a Distinguished Research Professor of Economics at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Two newest books, The Bubble and Beyond and Finance, Capitalism, and Its Discontents. Thank you both for joining us.
Glad to be here, Paul.
So, Michael, kick us off. How significant a development is this?
I think it's much more significant than any of the press has said. The press treats it almost as if, well, they're very small, and what do these countries have to do? Think of the BRICS as doing on a government level what Occupy Wall Street has been advocating. When they say a new development bank, they don't mean they want to be like the World Bank or the IMF. They want a different kind of development. But also, it's not only a development bank, but it's the $100 billion currency scheme. They're trying to, they've been driven into a mutual economic defense alliance by the U.S. sanctions against Russia, by the threats against China, not letting it invest in the U.S. on national security grounds. They've forced other countries really into let us do whatever we want with you. There's no alternative, and we're going to do to you what we did to Ireland and Greece. That's it. Well, basically, what the BRICS are saying in their new bank, in their clearinghouse, is, yes, there is an alternative. We don't have to be like neoliberalism. Their critique of the World Bank and the IMF isn't that they're not given a big enough quotas. It's they disagree with the whole philosophy of the World Bank and the IMF that is subsidizing economic dependency, food dependency, and basically anti-labor parties that result in budget deficits that then governments are told, well, in order to finance your foreign debt and your budget deficit, you have to sell off your water, your natural resources, your privatization. The BRICS banks are not going to go to the member countries and saying, you have to sell off your water supply and raise prices in order to pay it.
Let me bring Leo in here. So, Leo, what do you make of Michael's take? How significant is all this?
Well, I think it's very significant, and it is designed to give these large developing capitalist countries more room for maneuver vis-a-vis the American states and the European Central Bank and the IMF and the World Bank. But I think the significance he's attaching to it is remarkably overblown. There's no evidence that their purposes are indeed not to apply conditionality to loans. There's loads of evidence with the non-operationability of the Bank of the South, which was the bank created in Latin America, that the Brazilians, which have made it non-operational by insisting it be a very conventional development bank, which in fact goes to the markets and therefore is constrained by the markets in terms of interest rates to be charged, et cetera, conditionalities, as opposed to the Bolivian Venezuela that wanted it to be, operate on very different non-market principles. The Brazilians don't want that and don't want it for the new bank. And I don't think it's just a matter of the Brazilians. The Chinese don't want it either. There's a much deeper factor why it's not so significant, although it does give them some room for maneuver in their operations. But the main reason is that it's embedded in countries, even with China, that don't have the very, 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 as Michael knows very well, deep financial markets that is needed.
Okay, hang on one sec. That's sort of a second point. Let Michael respond to your first point. Your first point is that this is not something against the neoliberal strategy. This is some independent maneuver of countries that do work within a neoliberal strategy. So what do you make of that?
Emphasize that look who was just elected as the government of India. Look at the extent to which even the Workers' Party has been keen to integrate further into global capitalism. Let's look at the way in which China has just begun to remove some of its financial restrictions. And let's look at what the ANC now represents. So sure, they want more room for maneuver, but within the framework of buying into capitalist globalization and being extremely dependent on it.
Okay, Michael, you can respond.
Neoliberalism is not simply an economic philosophy. It's interwoven with American foreign policy. Take the case of Ireland when it bailed out the banks a few years ago. Europe was coming to an agreement and the IMF with Ireland to write down the debts until Tim Geithner called from the Treasury and said, wait a minute, you can't write down the debts because American banks have written credit default insurance and American banks will take a bath because we've bet that Ireland will pay, so don't bail it out. So Europe and Ireland both surrendered and said, okay, we're going to follow you. Same thing in Greece. The IMF even got into an argument with the EU saying you can't be that bad against Greece. You can't really force it into so deep a recession. The U.S. got on the phone and said, wait a minute, the American banks have written default insurance. You can't write it down. If you do, we're all going to have to pay through the nose, and we're not going to take a loss. So at issue isn't bank profits, but capitalism. It's specifically the United States, and it's the United States that has the veto on the IMF, the United States that has the veto on the World Bank, and basically, I think what's motivated the BRICS, these countries together, is they have one thing in common. They're all under attack by the United States, economically, and in Russia's case, militarily, with sanctions. And so what Russia is trying to do is say, look, right now, the United States can make a threat against this. They can say, if you don't do what we want, militarily or politically or economically, we can block your currency payments. We can block the banks and we can strangle you. So what Putin in his press conference for the BRICS said was the distinguishing feature is we're not putting in dollars into these banks. We're putting in our own currencies, and the loans will be made in our own currencies. And the fact is that governments can create as much of their own currency as they want. They don't have to go to the market in principle. Now, what Leo says is absolutely true. If Brazil, which is still run pretty much by the banks, insists in having the banks go to the market, then it will be tied in enough. But if Russia, China, and the other countries use modern monetary theory and say, okay, our treasuries are going to print the money to develop, and we don't need Wall Street, then you'll have it.
Let Leo jump in. Leo,
well, Michael, if you were advising them, they might, although there would be very, very heavy, as you would admit, sacrifices that they then would have to bear. But these are states that reflect their class structures. These are states that, like the United States, reflect powerful forces within it. And what you're proposing is not something that any of the dominant capitalists in any of these countries, whether, you know, foreign mining companies in South Africa or ambitious Chinese multinationals want to happen. Moreover, the notion that they're not interested in convertibility into American dollars, I mean those particular domestic capitalists in those countries, is absurd.
Now,
so, sure, Putin can spout off all he wants about the ludicrous notion of the ruble as a international reserve currency, with none of the infrastructural capacity to make it such. But this is not a practical alternative. That's not to say it isn't designed to do, as you say, to give them some both rhetorical and maybe institutional room for maneuver. But let's not overblow this, for heaven's sake.
Okay, it's not made. There was no attempt by Russia to make the ruble a convertible currency. What Russia wants to do is to denominate its trade in rubles, just as China's denominating its trade in yen, so that the United States cannot use its banks to do what they've done in the case of Argentina and say, we can block any payments going through the banking system, just like after the Shah was overthrown in Iran. Iran tried to pay its foreign debts, the new regime, and Chase Manhattan acted on behalf of the U.S. government and blocked Iran's payment, forcing it into default, causing a crisis. Now, Iran is a observer member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization that's part of the BRICS, and the whole attempt is to make an alternative, is to avoid the dollar. It's not to make the ruble an international currency. It's to get free of the dollar and hence free of the kind of sanctions that the United States has just escalated against Russia today, free of the monetary sanctions and free of the ability of the U.S. to use the dollarized system as a political
tool. I know that's their objective. I don't disagree with you that that's their objective. I think if we're assessing the significance of this, I think we have to assess the likelihood of this. We have to assess what the most powerful forces inside their own countries want in this respect. How many eggs they're going to put in this basket. What is the capacity of these countries to operate outside of international financial markets in which the dollar, but which we really mean, very powerful financial institutions headquartered in the West with the states that represent them.
You're right.
Continue to exist.
Okay. This is the dialectic at work, and it's a dialectic between national interests and the vested interests within the country. You're seeing that in the United States right now over the Argentine crisis, where the banks and the Treasury Department and the White House all wanted the Supreme Court to overrule Greece's ruling about the debt default. These class interests are themselves in conflict, and very often, just as American foreign policy has been captured by the neoliberals and neocons, this can hurt many of the most vested interests here. Same thing in Russia and China. So it's a whole dialectic.
Michael, I want to just refocus this, because the first part of the argument was whether the strategic objective of this bank is actually anti-neoliberal, because it seems to me there's two different issues here. If they want to have more room for their own sovereign interests within this whole neoliberal financial system, that's one thing. It's another thing to say that they want that, plus they want that to avoid things like structural readjustments and all the various privatizations and attack on Social Security net and lowering wages. I mean, it seemed to me at the beginning you were suggesting they want to go against those kinds of policies. And Leo asked or said there's no evidence of that. So what's the evidence of that?
If you read Putin's press conferences that he's given explaining his aims, and they're available on Johnson's Russia list that has both his and Lavrov's, the foreign minister's comments, you see that they've spelled this out exactly, that the neoliberalism is not only privatization, but it's the idea, what's really at issue is our economy is going to be planned by Wall Street and financial interests, or are they going to be planned by governments?
Come on.
With a view towards raising...
No country has privatized more. No ruling class has privatized more than the oligarchy around Putin. They've taken that country's wealth and put it in their back pockets. And even if it is officially still owned by the states, it's in their back pockets. Let's not turn Putin and his cronies into the vanguard of a new socialist society, for heaven's sake.
I cannot argue with that, Leo. You're absolutely right.
It's very important we not do this.
The question is, what's the evidence that there is a break from neoliberalism? I mean, another break that they've all said is, well, neoliberalism really means the dollar standard. And it means lending money in dollars for imports. For instance, one of the things that the BRICS conference said was, we will be lending money in domestic currency. Now, that's very important because the World Bank doesn't lend money in domestic currency. That means it doesn't lend money for land reform, for agriculture, for all of the expenses that are met domestically for labor, to develop agriculture, to develop industry. It only lends dollars basically to buy U.S. Exports of infrastructure, U.S. engineering exports, and European. So making loans in domestic currencies for domestic development, for instance, China would love to see Latin America, instead of producing hard cash plantation crops, it would love to see it produce wheat and food. This would have a byproduct. It could feed itself, as Argentina is now doing, and it could export. So a shift of foreign financing to wheat away from other things would be a big change.
Again, I don't know what evidence you have that China has not played an enormously massive role in producing export-oriented monocultures in South America. In fact, you know, the Landless Peoples Movement, whose main theme is that, you know, we have such a massive population, we need a diversified agriculture to feed it. It doesn't target any longer the United States as imposing that upon Brazil, for heaven's sake. Brazil, sure, is looking for room for maneuver in terms of diversifying its exports by concentrating on monocultures, as is Argentina with soy, to be sent to China. I mean, I don't think that one should look at these ruling classes in the global south with rose-colored glasses, even though we want to be able to recognize the extent to which the American state is indeed the imperial state governing, superintending this global capitalism, and we need to, of course, be critical of it. But that is doesn't mean we need to be naive about what these other states are.
No, what I said is that the exports that China is trying to develop, and you're absolutely right, it's promoting exports to itself, are different from the kind of development exports the United States wants. Economies are so asymmetrical. The United States doesn't want food exports because it wants the world to become dependent on American grain and American agriculture. That's been the basis of American foreign policy since World War II. So just shifting to grain and to food grains as opposed to other cash crops is something that, at least in an emergency, the countries will be able to feed themselves, which they're not able to do under the current system.
Okay, Leo, let's dig in a little further just how significant this. Now, the size of the economies we're talking about are massive. My understanding is south-to-south trade is now larger than north-to-south trade by over $2 trillion, and that's about a quarter of global trade. So is the potential here of these countries seeking to build some kind of a more independent financial structure significant? I mean, you said earlier there's a deeper issue here, and I kind of cut you off. What's the deeper significance here?
Well, obviously, these are very important developing capitalist countries. Unfortunately, they're developing capitalist countries rather than developing socialist countries. That's what's happened even with the Workers' Party in Brazil and the ANC and the South African Communist Party. All the more so will it now happen with a right-wing-led India, and it's happening with a vengeance with a communist party that is very venally turning its elite into a capitalist class. So it's a developing capitalist country. That's significant historically. It certainly undermines the old notion that capitalism was underdeveloping the global south. The people used to blame the United States for that. We now see that there's a rapid development, which the United States has encouraged through free trade and neoliberalism, very much so. That said, it'll be much more difficult to integrate those countries within the American empire than it was to integrate the former imperial countries of Europe and Japan, for reasons that have to do with the lack of military occupation, that have to do with differences in religion, culture, history, language, etc. That's certainly true. And it's significant. But the important thing that's going on now that's much, much more significant is the participation of these countries in guaranteeing in the wake of this crisis through the G20 and through their very active cooperation in this, that the crisis would not lead to the reimposition of tariff protections. It would not lead to the imposition of an extension of capital controls. All of the things that occurred during the Depression in the 1930s, when there was a breakdown of capitalist globalization, these countries are opposed to this. Now, insofar as we might see a break from Russia under pressure from the United States, that would take much more the form of a right-wing nationalism led by this Russian oligarchy than it would be something progressive, unfortunately, given the balance of forces in Russia. But I think the main thing is that these countries are not getting off the capitalist globalization bandwagon. They're looking for more room for maneuver within it.
Okay, so Michael, if I understand your main argument is, and it's, in some ways it's not that different on, in some respects from what Leo's saying, you're not saying they're getting off the whole capitalist bandwagon. What you're saying they're doing is buying themselves a little more room in terms of their foreign policy.
There's a very broad range over what they can do, and if you look at what is the most likely common denominator, it's exactly what Leo said. The common denominator is it's their capitalists against the U.S. capitalists. It's their saying, what can we do to be free of the U.S. bank and Wall Street and the City of England of London and the financial extractive loans? At least the neoliberal plans today have gone beyond trying to finance infrastructure development. It's the financial system in the West is almost entirely extractive now, not productive. The capitalist class in the countries that Leo's mentioned want at least some banks to do some productive loans that will that they can benefit from, rather than having the U.S. come in and grab everything for itself, like privatization on behalf of the U.S. You see this kind of fight going on in Greece right now, where the Eurozone said Greece has to privatize its natural resources to pay the debt. Half the privatization last year was to be the sale of its gas rights.
And you know who's buying?
Gazprom. And Europe said, never mind, don't sell them. We don't want Russia. Only us, not Russia.
But you know who's buying the port of Piraeus?
The Chinese.
One of the largest and more, China.
China.
Chinese,
right.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I don't see the world as in terms of competition amongst the capitalist classes of the world in the sense you're speaking of. I think there is a very deep integration on the part of the leading capitalists in these countries, including the domestic ones, into globalization. I think that's true of Vale in Brazil.
That's the world's largest iron ore company.
That's the world's largest iron ore company.
All right, so... All right, so listen, I wanted to go to our commercial break. When we come back, why is this so significant? What's really being set up here? And I think this was a good representation.
Hey, Dave.
Of what is being set up. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, check out what I posted for you in the chat, because I think it's relevant to what we've been hearing on this clip.
Yeah, I definitely will. Let me get into it. Really quickly, my daggone internet is messing up. But listen, getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Talk Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025 is Financial Friday. Just wanted to give you some clue as to, this was a older broadcast, but it has developed from there, and I thought it was really, really relevant that we just hear it and then add our own, what is it that's being set up here? And Scotty put in a great, great article, and this article was from the Independent CO.UK. Independence CO is a British publication, and it had the former Greece Prime Minister that they wanted to really get rid of, because he was not down for Greece losing what it had, and it was a great article. It says capitalism is ending because it made itself obsolete, says the former Greek financial minister. Said exclusive former economist professor said that the rise of artificial intelligence will spell end of neoliberal system. So now, in quotes, so now there is no doubt capital is about socially produce, and then returns are being privatized. This is with artificial intelligence is going to be the end of capitalism. Warning, Karl Marx will have his revenge. The 56-year-old said from the first time since capitalism started, new technology is going to destroy a lot more jobs than it creates. Man, that was a great, great article, Scotty, that you put in.
Let me say this. This was before Facebook was created, and MySpace was the big deal. Right. And I noticed back then, I said to a couple of people, and I ain't trying to toot my horn or take no credit, but Blog Talk Radio sharing its revenue is because of a program I did on their platform saying that they should share the revenue with the host, because without us producing the content, there wouldn't be any content, you know? And so that's what he's saying. Like Facebook, what is Facebook's content? Is what you post, is what I post, is what other people post. Right. And so that's what's being produced there. It's social commentary, whatever you're talking about. And then it's being monetized by Facebook. So that's your content that you're not getting a cut of that's being monetized by Facebook. All right. So that's what I think he's talking about. Now, we also talked about how Facebook was working on artificial intelligence, or they were calling it artificial intelligence in the articles, but making these bots that could run Facebook without humans. And what I said, that this is just to get rid of human beings so they wouldn't have any jobs. So I think this is what he's talking about, is that, you know, the things that are being produced right now is trending towards being non-human. They don't need humans to produce it. Okay, so yeah, I thought it was a pretty good article.
No, very, very important and very, very relevant. Because let me tell you something: the system has never changed. They always want to socialize the liabilities while privatizing the profits. And see, most of us think when we hear that word profit, first thing we think of is what? Cash. That's because that's what the system wants you to think. The profit that the system really works off of is something that you are unaware of. But here on Tando Radio Show, here on Black Talk Radio Network, we talk about this. And that is energy. Energy. When you have resources, you have assets, what need do you have for a boss? None at all. When you control energy and you create
a financial system of that has no real value. You create a piece of paper that has no intrinsic value, and then you push that off to the people that are giving up their valuable energy. Guess what? By them taking that overall debt enslavement, you control their energy and you control their overall participation. You make them, you are now created a system where they don't rely on themselves. They bet, they fall at their knees to you. And when you do that, you don't want them falling to their knees to you where they is blatantly obvious to the individual, because at some point they'll start murmuring from their knees and they'll realize, why do I need this tyrant? But if you put in front of them something that can be replaced with no loss of value, not only are they on their knees, now they're on their bellies. And they offer their generations to you in sacrifice. System is very creative. And right now, the rest of the world is moving away from the U.S. for the purpose of what? Maintaining the same social economic climate that has always been. The privatizing of profit while the overall creating production of energy socially. Because if you're not using your energy for yourself, that means that your energy that you are creating is being stored and is being used for real profit or control of assets by someone else. If you're not creating assets for yourself, then your asset is someone else's gained. And right now, the world is moving from the U.S. Why? Because the system wants to put the U.S. out front to be slaughtered for sacrifice. It will be the sacrificial lamb to maintain the overall economic direction. The U.S. is just like every single person that it claims itself as a U.S. citizen. That corporation is expendable. But as long as the contract is never broken, as long as the contract is never broken. So right now, what you heard was both of them were absolutely correct. But here's the spin to it. The system is it realizes after so many years that it needs to reinvent its overall or shake its can shake the world to have a firmer grip. Because when there becomes more and more, and this is the marker, when there becomes more and more people on the in the world, people that are on their knees start to murmur, and then they start to that overall energy. You remember yesterday when Thomas said that they're going to be able to take the energy from which you speak from the walls and repeat it? I will say this. No, they won't. Not in the way that they're going to tell you how they're going to do it. But what Thomas said was absolutely true. Because there is going to be recording devices in all of the walls. See, one of the things that the system always tries to present itself as is as a deity. Through technology or through ritual practice, it tries to always present itself as a deity because it realizes that it's conditioned every person in the world to do what? To be beholden to a deity, and they want that deity to be them. So they'll tell you that they're able to do it through the walls. But see, that's just part of it. What they're doing is that they've turned everything into a recording device. That's not mystical. That's subversive. That's plotting. And think about, in order to do that, how would you be, what would you be able to do? How would you be able to facilitate that? What you would do is you would make everyone want to carry around the very device that is recording them and love to have it. How many of us have, you see people say they love their phone? Ooh, I love my new phone. And that recording device, even though it's flawed and everything else, but it's still doing what? Its real design purpose. You may own it, but you don't control it. The one that controls it has all of the ends to its benefit while exploiting you. Once again, the system is privatizing the profits while socializing the liabilities. System realized when there's so many people on the planet that at some place, at some stage, there are going to be individuals that don't buy into, but just by the sheer numbers, there's some people and warriors that will call BS, BS. This is why it's always been the objective to put those that do not want to follow the rules and those that do not want it to obey, enslave them in prisons. Confine them. Isolate them. So that their disruptive behavior will not become an epidemic where people will no longer obey. See, but they tell you because they were criminal and everything else. See, that's why the system is so keen. Because we have blind faith in this system in so many ways. I say whenever they create something from never from a position of benevolence. It's a malevolent agenda that's attached to it. And it has nothing to do with what many of us think it does. They equally hate all because their overall controlling of resources is necessary to have the overall dominant position and control over all. As many as you possibly can. And how do you do it? You create the overall barriers and you create the overall tension that destroys the world. And you control that fire. While we see it as a wildfire blowing wildly in the wind and spreading uncontrollably, they see it as a furnace that's being fed the fuel, the necessary fuel, to turn the heat into energy. They've been doing it for a while. And the only way it changes is we decide to not to participate in it from the level of our participation in the past. And the system knows that every so often that there's so many billions of people on the planet. Uh-oh, we got trouble. It's harder for us to monitor. We'll be able to monitor them, but we won't be able to control them as easily. Because somebody's going to say, wait a minute. Have y'all thought about this? Or they're going to say, I'm not doing that. You go ahead and do that. You want to do that? That's you. I'm not doing that. And then someone will ask them this. Why you don't want to do it? And the answer is destructive to the very nature of control. Because the answer will be, no one is going to control me. Our words are very, 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 very powerful. Our energy is very powerful. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And what happens is that the system is not all powerful at all, smart at all. No, no. But what it is able to do is that it realizes how shallow it is. So what it does have to do is it has to make a thinking population more docile than ever before. You have to control people from the very inception of the day they start in school. This is why they make your babies go to school at such a young age and early in the morning, because what is that doing? They're going to the plantation. They're learning the manners of conducting themselves properly on the plantation of global subjugation. Because what should they be doing at that time? Those young people should be going out and learning the overall ways of the natural ecosystem that is sustainable for prosperity forevermore. But we don't waste our time doing that anymore. Since we don't waste our time doing that anymore, we waste our physical lives. Because what you would have known and what you would have been able to develop as an individual would be quite different than the well-mannered, civil fool that we've all become. And we became it because those that we love sent us on our way, not knowing, but still not unaware. We can't play ignorant on this. We can't say that you didn't really know. No, what it was is that we've compromised and we've said that I'll take the deal that they're offering. In all of the misdealings and the ubiquitous fraud that goes along with it, I'll make my way. I'll do it. And as the devil would say, fine, you have signed the contract. And all deals with the devil, with that low frequency, it's your soul that's lost. The soul being of who you really are and your capabilities. But one of the things about this is that you're so powerful, you can retract and rescind that at any time. And even though it's layered, you still can rescind it. Say, I'm going in a different direction. Oh, and believing when you do it, there are going to be a lot of physical threats that are going your way. But those physical threats should never, ever temper your overall decision on eternity, because those threats are temporal. The path and the direction that you're moving is eternal. How will you use your overall moments in eternity? So with this banking, it's nothing more than a method. The U.S. will fall and she shall fall hard, as all empires fall, because the overall paradigm of control must stay alive, because it's fragile. It's fragile. So whenever they create something, you know it's been created to maintain exactly what they've been able to do yesterday. Just think about you when you create something and how you resonate. Do you create something to subjugate and enslave? Hopefully you said no, but they do. But they do. So if you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025. The direction that I see the world moving in is the same direction that has always been going in. There will be a new Third Reich under a different name, same objective. There will be a new America, different name, same objective. There will be racism, same objective, different form, colorization. There will be separatism, same objective, different boundaries, different borders. In essence, it will continue to be the same of what we've had before, because we are participating in the system. We're not creating our own. You can't participate in the system and expect it to be beholden to your free will. That wasn't the way it was designed. You can't expect for a football player or a basketball player to be able to win in a baseball game by the rules that they play in the sports and their respective sports. A football player can't win by playing football in the World Series. That's not how the rules work. The scoreboard won't respond to you. The field isn't created that way. The umpires, the management, the other players, the confine of the game itself, the tools of the game itself is not designed for a football player to win at the World Series. So why in the world would we think that if we commingle ourselves in this society that we will ever be able to win? If you want to win, then the football player has to go to the gridiron. If the baseball player wants to win, the baseball player has to go to the diamond. If the basketball player wants to win, the basketball player has to take it to the court. If you want to be sovereign and self-determining, you can't be civil. You can't play on their field. By their rules, you will be out of place and you will be the pariah that's easily identifiable. Football player stands out on the baseball diamond. Baseball player with the bat in hand is out of place on the gridiron. Basketball player, they both have ball, but on the soccer field, basketball player is lost. Soccer player on the court does not score a goal. And that's a very, very simple way for us to see the relative worth of ourselves. Now, how we're going to do that, I think there's a much bigger question. How are you going to do it? How will you invoke that in your life by your means? Because being self-determining and sovereign means just that. It's the overall invokement of who you truly are and the energy that you represent by your will. The energy that you produced is being directed by your free will. See, the system has taught us always to think in the terms and the conditions that it has taught us to think. It's not outside of a box that we need to think. It's within our overall self-determination that everything lies. Everything lies there. So yes, the world is going to change and America will lose its overall economic position, its status as the so-called lone superpower. It will be defeated because that's what the system needs and that's what it will get. But how you respond to it is very, very important. How you engage it in it is critical. How do we get there? I'm going to tell you, I don't know. How do we do it? I'm going to tell you, I don't know. But just because we don't know something today does not mean that I stand where I am that I know is destructive right now. I think it's going to be individual choices, because the individual choices are more powerful. The great creator can't even go against your free will, because it has just that much power. It is just that precise in the universal spiritual law of existence. Can never be extinguished. Can never be diminished once it's created. It's eternal and powerful forever. Why are we wasting our energy? So, one of the things that's going to, and I see, is that they're going to have the same playbook that they've had before in the past. They'll do it by way of war. They'll do it by way of economic chaos, and they'll do it by the way of controlling assets to bring famines and to have diversion, to instigate among the human species, to preoccupy individuals through fights of emotions over falsehoods and lies. You can never make a lie the truth. It is unable to have that type of responsibility. It is unable to hold that type of high frequency. Nor can you ever turn the truth into a lie. So we will find ourselves as the times of before World War I, World War II, and all the other world wars. What those people did there, I don't know. I have some idea. I don't know. I have some idea. Because it's different for every single region and person. There's different minions that are all engaged in this. Remember, this is a very, very fragile tapestry of energy. People can change their free will, or they could execute their free will at different degrees. This is why this whole thing has to be completely controlled and orchestrated. Watch people get on a subway. Watch people get on a train in China or in Japan. Everyone is coordinated to shuffle themselves in the smallest spaces within a time frame. So you don't have the time to ask a question. You just go to your spot and try to make it, and you squeeze it. That's control. It's constricting you to the confines of their devices, their trains. So if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit star, star. We'll see you in queue, and definitely we'll bring you up. We'd love to hear from you all on your thoughts of it all. And what does it really mean to you? Because that's all that really matters. What are you finding that's relevant and important to you? Where are you going? What decisions have you made? The world may go in one direction. That doesn't mean that you got to go on that path. You don't have to get on that highway and pay the toll and go in the direction that has been paved out. You can go on your own path, and you can beat that path so that others may extend it. It's all up to us. But I do know this. We will look a lot like the past if we continue to live in their future. We will continue to have the displacement that we complain so much about. We complain about things because we're not providing solutions to them. complainers are complaining. Why are you complaining? What does a complaint mean? To make it known for someone else to fix it. What is a solution? A solution is the applied energy for a purpose and a goal of a task. Then, in my opinion, I said to myself, Dave, don't complain about anything, because you can't. Because if you're complaining about something, that's because you're not doing a darn thing about it. Be responsible to yourself. It was all given to you. Why would you ask the great creator for anything else when all has already been given to you? Because what happens is that we fall into a ritual of obeying and asking and trying to yield from a deity that didn't create anything other than the destructive path or the destructive highways that we've been on. Give that man your energy, and they surely will take it. The great creator has given you your space to create even more. Shouldn't be wasting it. So, listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. We're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Oh, I hope I didn't lose. No, I didn't lose the feet. So give us a call. And I really, really do see a lot of from the banking side, from the cryptocurrency side, from the precious metal side, the asset side. I really do see the handwriting on the wall as far as the direction of it all from my limited view and vision of things. But I see that is in. I think that if you really care to see it, it will make itself. It doesn't try to hide itself from you at all. It really is there. The system actually tells you, hear me say, they tell you all the time what they're going to do because they know that they're able to facilitate it. But more importantly, how often do we do what we said we're going to do? I think it's very, 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 very important that we do some things that are relevant to us that are important. It's my overall hope that we will position ourselves in this overall transfer of wealth to gain the momentum from it and then to direct our own recourse of being able to say, okay, now let's think in accord, have an ability to come together like the ecosystem and decide to do some things among ourselves that best foster our overall development. Equally, and we contract that, not in the way of man's contract, but contract that from our overall commitment to maintaining that. I think that's very, very, very important. Because where this system has, the intentions of this system and what it has is for for it to continue to be able to take from everyone and to live off of that energy while they do all of the work. While they do all of the work. And I think that's very critically important. So it's another, because I'm really losing my voice. So what I'm going to do is that if you have any questions or comments, definitely now's the time to do it. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. I'm going to do this on one Mike Maloney one, because I got to say my voice is gone. I can barely even talk now. So what I want to do is, if we have no calls for the last 30 minutes of it, I want you to just hear this all the way through, and then we'll just end the show from there. And the reason, I have to, there's a couple of things I have to do, and one is I got to save my darn voice. Is really, really, I'm totally, totally losing it. So big ups to all of you. I'm going to say this. I will let you know. I'm not quite sure if we're going to have a conference call. I know I can't do it this weekend. I really need to do some other things. And then I'll have a conference call about the crowdfunding campaign next week. I'm going to have to do some things and get some to help you all out with some of that stuff, some very difficult format in platform that's there. Well, it's not difficult, it's just that we're new to it all. So we'll definitely do that. So what I'm going to do is that since there are no calls that anyone that wants to make any comments or any questions, that's very, very cool. I'm going to play this and then end the show out there and end it right on time. And then we'll get out of here, and then we'll see you, great creator willing, next week. Okay? So let me want you to hear this about some very great, great information that's here. Listen up.
Spending demographic, the wealth distribution cycle, the household debt to it. Just a month ago, there were 23 countries that set up swap lines to bypass the U.S. dollar. This is the East-West cycle, the maximum spending demographic, the wealth distribution cycle, the household debt-to-income ratio cycle, the stock market cycle, the Kondratieff wave, and world monetary systems, and they're all pointing to a massive deflation that should be coming in the future. In Japan, they're trying to beat deflation by just expanding the currency supply, and it doesn't work. If you're a Keynesian, you think it'll work, but Japan's been trying it now for two decades, and it hasn't worked yet, and so now the U.S. is trying. This is starting to fall apart, and it's falling apart at an increasing rate. It's happening faster and faster. I'm up at the Cambridge House Investment Conference in Vancouver, Canada, and I'm about to go on stage in a few moments, and I'm going to be talking about why I think there's deflation coming, and it's coming soon. I'm going to be going over what I call the golden nails in the dollar's coffin. The U.S. dollar standard as the world's reserve currency, its days are numbered. Episode number 3 of Hidden Secrets of Money was about the death of the dollar standard, and we're getting closer and closer to that day. And it seems like every week now, there's another nail in the dollar's coffin. So this is just an update on that and a progression of it. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope you get something from it. Come on in and join me. So now we're going to get to the main presentation here. This one is titled Death of the Dollar Update. I've been doing presentations, and this has been modified slowly throughout the years, but I started giving this presentation back in 2010. And it's about how the world monetary systems have evolved. And I'll show you that every 30 to 40 years, the world has a brand new monetary system, and people really didn't know that we go through, that we go along and pressures build up in a monetary system. It starts to develop stress cracks and implode, and there's an emergency meeting of a bunch of finance ministers, and they try and come up with a new world monetary system. This chart here is from J.P. Morgan. Anybody that reads Zero Hedge may have seen it. It's been in quite a number of newsletters. And what it shows is that reserve currency status, right now the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. All countries hold some U.S. dollars to settle international trade. That it's a temporary thing. All reserve currency status eventually ends. And what you see is before the U.S., it was Great Britain. The British pound was the reserve currency, and the Bank of England did all of the international settlements. Before that, it wasn't really reserve currencies, so this chart is a bit mislabeled. It was actually just predominant currencies. You didn't have really organized central banks that held other currencies in reserve and one currency to settle international trade. What you had was a currency that happens to be the majority of the currency on the planet. And then the Netherlands, Spain, and Portugal. And so when I was writing my book back in 2005 and 2006, I sort of stumbled across all of this accidentally. I'm a believer in cycles. And I took every currency crisis, every stock market crash, every bad depression that we had had, every bank run that we had had, put them all into a spreadsheet just to see if I could find some regularity in a cycle when it comes to the dates of these things. And what I found stuck out at me, it just leapt out at me. And I started doing research on it, and I was Googling, and I mean, over a period of weeks, I must have spent an entire day trying to figure out changes in world monetary systems, and nobody had written about it to that date. I couldn't find any information on it other than reading about the monetary system, but nobody had put together yet that every 30 to 40 years there was this shift in world monetary system. So these are the world monetary systems. Before World War I, we had the classical gold standard, where a country would issue a gold note that was fully redeemable in an amount of gold. And if there was $20 in circulation in the U.S. that was said it was redeemable in gold, there was a $20 gold piece at the Treasury. So it was a 100% reserve ratio, fully backed. And then along comes World War I, and countries lit up the printing presses, went off of the classical gold standard. And between the wars, they patched together something called the gold exchange standard. And there, when the Federal Reserve was established, they made it legal to commit fraud and lie. And they could put $50 of gold notes in circulation, promising to pay gold for every $20 gold piece in the vault. It was a 40% reserve ratio. And the international settlement was done with a combination. Before World War I, it was British pounds. After World War I, the world's central banks could hold British pounds, U.S. dollars, British bonds, or U.S. bonds as reserves. So it was a mixture. And it was a very poorly designed system. And it started to implode during the latter half of the Great Depression and then fully imploded during World War II. So in 1944, a bunch of the finance ministers from around the world got together and economists at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, and came up with something called the Bretton Woods system. During both wars, the U.S. had loaned currency to all of the combatant nations to help them rebuild, and loaned currency to the Allies during the war to help fund the war. And so the world was sort of flooded with U.S. dollars. So it was decided that at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, that all the world's currencies would be backed by U.S. dollars, and the U.S. dollar would be convertible into gold to foreign central banks only at $35 per ounce. So this is a completely different system than the previous one, which was completely different than the one before that. And so any foreign central bank can go to the New York Fed and turn in $35 and get an ounce of gold back. And then the problem with that is that those countries actually did that. They came and cashed in their dollars. And when they cashed in their dollars, it meant gold was leaving the vaults of the U.S. And from 59 to 71, the U.S. lost 50% of its gold. And the redemptions were increasing, not decreasing. And we were going to run out of gold, but we had printed tons of dollars. We only had about $1 worth of gold for every $8 worth of claim checks on gold, the base money that foreign central banks were holding that was outstanding. And so Nixon was forced to end the Bretton Woods system where the dollar was pegged to gold on August 15th of 71. But when he did that, he unwittingly unpegged all currencies. All currencies were pegged to gold and backed by gold, but through the U.S. dollar. So when he severed that tie, it wasn't just the dollar becoming a fiat currency on August 15th of 71. It was the entire planet's currency supply. Every country on the planet was suddenly unpegged from gold. And the reason that we went on the U.S. dollar standard globally is a complete accident. It wasn't. They did have something called the Washington Accord. There were meetings to try and create a new monetary system, but the new monetary system had already happened. It was a default. All the world had been flooded with dollars because of the wars and then the Bretton Woods system. And when they stopped the redemption rights, we just went on floating exchange rates, and we ended up with the U.S. dollar standard. And it is the most poorly designed of all these currency systems. However, there is no the reason that it's lasted for 43 years is because there's nothing waiting in the wings to take its place. The dollar, the world being flooded with dollars meant that the dollar standard was sort of waiting in the wings when Bretton Woods imploded. But the result is that classical gold standard 30 to 40 years, the gold exchange standard 30 years, Bretton Woods 28 years, the U.S. dollar standard 43 years plus, and there's something coming. And now we're going to get into what I call the nails of the coffin for the U.S. dollar standard. But first, what is the U.S. dollar standard? Well, if Canada wants to buy Chinese cars, you don't pay for them with Canadian dollars to China because nobody in China can use the Canadian dollars. They can't pay another business or get on the bus and pay in Canadian dollars. They've got to do it in yuan. So what happens is a car dealer here that's buying Japanese cars will convert the Canadian dollars into American dollars and pay the American dollars, and over in China they are converted into yuan because it's such a large and liquid pool of currency that all the other currencies can be instantly traded back and forth into and out of U.S. dollars. So, you know, everybody has their local currency that they use in each region, but when it comes to international trade, it's all done in U.S. dollars. Every currency is converted into the U.S. dollar. You pay another country, they convert that into their currency. Well, what has happened in the past decade, this is starting to fall apart, and it's falling apart at an increasing rate. It's happening faster and faster. These are the countries that are trying to avoid the U.S. dollar in trade. They are actively putting policies in place and trying to bypass the U.S. dollar. These are the countries where the use of a dollar alternative, such as selling oil in euros or gold, triggered war. The countries with the boxing gloves, gold has been introduced as a competing currency. Utah made gold a legal.
All right, everyone, before we get out of here, I wanted to share something very, very important. I wanted you to look up something. And there was an executive order that was signed by the celebrity figurehead, President Trump. And that executive order, let me pull it up really quickly so that you can do your research. Very significant executive order. And before we get out of here, we need to talk about it. And just waiting for my computer to catch up. And this executive order, and I haven't done much research on it, but I will. And the best way to do is to pull up that executive order itself. And this executive order caused me to come and say, hold on,
wait a minute, what? I need to tell our listeners about it. And this executive order, right, I was not aware of until just now, an executive order that is said to give the Air Force the ability to recall 1,000 Air Force pilots. So I want to get this really quickly and to recall them into active duty. 1,000 pilots. And so let me just get this executive order. So I haven't researched it, but I guess that there is the possibility that the celebrity figurehead President Trump signed an executive order that will recall out of retirement pilots to active duty. So sorry about the delay here, but I want to get this information out before we get out of here. This does not surprise me. It's just an indication of things to unfold.
I got it for you, Dave.
Man.
I got it for you.
You found it, Scotty?
Yeah, President Trump signed
an executive order.
President Trump signed an executive order Friday allowing the Air Force to recall as many as 1,000 retired pilots to active duty to address a shortage in combat flyers, the White House and Pentagon announced. By law, only 25 retired officers can be brought back to serve in any one branch. Trump's order removes those caps by expanding a state of national emergency declared by President George W. Bush after 9/11, signaling what could be a significant escalation in the 16-year-old global war on terror. So, again, this is why I don't put a whole lot of stock in laws, because they violate their own laws. And they, you know, how does this executive order, does executive order trump federal law? You know, that's the question. But again,
right,
you know, with 9/11 ushering in the Patriot Act and all these other extraordinary so-called legislative measures, and this is just more of the same for continuous war profiteering.
Yep, definitely. And now the executive order is Executive Order 13223. Wouldn't be surprising. Executive Order 13223, by authority vested in me as President of the Constitution and the laws of the United States, including the National Emergency Act, in furtherance of the proclaimed 1774-63 of September 14, 2001, declared national emergency by reasons of certain terrorist acts, has declared a national emergency by the reasons of the terrorist act of September 11, 2001 in New York and in Pennsylvania against the Pentagon and continuing an immediate threat further attacks on the in the order to provide the Secretary of Defense additional authority to manage personnel required to maintain a consistency with the authorization provided in the Executive Order of 13223 of September 14th of 2001. So let me move this down to where it says what it is. You can read it all, but this is going to be the tag on it.
Hey, Dave, this is also telling me something. As well, this is again why there's so much opposition to quote unquote NFL players not standing for the flag, because that's all just a military recruitment ceremony anyway. That's why Department
exactly
of Defense started paying them. But this tells me that they have a shortage in critical areas in the military.
Yep, and they're about to engage in a major war. In a major confrontation. Here it is. Section 1, amendments to the Executive Order of 13223. Section 1 of the Executive Order of 13223 is amended by by the end, authorizing the availability use of during a national emergency under Section 688 and 69 of Title 10 U.S. Code, are also involved in making available, according to the terms, to the secretary concerned, subject in case of the secretaries of the Army, Navy, Air Force, to direction of the Secretary of Defense. The general provisions not in order shall consist in pairing or otherwise affect the authority grants by law to an executive department or agency, the head entitled thereof. And it doesn't, and this was signed today, but it doesn't say actually, I need to pull this up from the White House and read what it is. So let me tell you, why would this actually be signed? Let me get the press secretary. My, of course, when it's time for me to do this, my doggone, so in the, where you would see, is going to be in Title 10 of the U.S. Code, Section 688 and 690, and this is what has been changed. Here's the link to 688, which would, in 688, he changed it. The United States Code 688 is the one that has the overall military portion, which deal with recalling retired military members to active duty. So see, they didn't put it in here, but this is the devil's in the details of this whole thing. And so it's the USC code, and I'm pulling up the USC code right now. So I'm pulling up the from the government.org. How much time we got? Okay, cool. US code 2011, Title 10. We're going to go to Section 688. So the executive order talks about Section 688 of Title 10. And here it is. I'm pulling it up right now. With the monkeys in my computer, my overall would speed up. Oh, man, I can't read all this. Okay, here it is right off the top. Title 10, Armed Forces of 688A, U.S. United States Codes, 2011, Title 10, 688, retired members' authorization to order to active duty. Yep, it is done. Authorization under the regulations prescribed by the Secretary of Defense, a member described as in a subsection may be ordered to active duty by the Secretary of the Military Department concerned at any time. Coveted members, as Scotty just said, the coveted members, accept and provide in substance in subsection apply to the following members of the U.S. Air Forces: a retired member of the regular Army, Navy, regular Air Force, regular Marines, a member of the retired reserve who's retired under the sections under the sections above. So basically, yes, this has definitely been done. So the executive order is there. Why would this be done? Because they plan on engaging in a major confrontation, ladies and gentlemen. So just you all be thoroughly prepared for this. I will do more research. We will do preparation shows and preparation training among ourselves on the show from here on in parts of time during the week. Nothing to be afraid of. Never scared, always prepared. So before we get out of here, let me check to see if there's any questions or comments that we have about this. So the executive order, I guess there was an executive order that was signed today that was going to recall 1,000 pilots that were in retirement, pulling them out of retirement. That is huge.
Also,
that is huge.
I would not be surprised if this is a build up also to escalate the number of U.S. troops operating in Africa, or an escalation of military conflict in Africa. Because I can see them trying to use these four people who got killed in Niger as an excuse to do in Africa what they've been doing to the quote unquote Middle East, which is really Northern Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So important. So, okay, everyone. 13 223, Executive Order 13223, and this is only going to expand. Getting close to my daughter is not an option for anyone. And our daughters, in my opinion, are not an option. Wow. Here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. So just be prepared for anything. This is how you know that things are ramping up into, for someone like Scotty and I and people that have been in the military, we know what this really means. We know what this really means, that there are going to be continuous steps to that. And there are going to be things that it's already laid out. So I wouldn't be surprised if some engagement happens, full deployment, and they're going to catch people off guard. Okay, everyone, it's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Brother Braggs, if you're on, if you would chime us out, we'd greatly appreciate it. Executive Order 13223. Why we must prepare. Never scared, always prepared. We'll talk to you soon. Peace, peace.
Peace, peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons.